The King of Kings appears. The voice of God is heard declaring the day and hour of Jesus' coming. The people of God stand listening, their faces lighted up with His glory. Soon in the east a small black cloud appears. It is the cloud that surrounds the Savior. In solemn silence the people of God gaze at it as it comes nearer, until it is a great white cloud, its base a glory like consuming fire, and above it the rainbow of the covenant. Not now a man of sorrows, Jesus rides forward as a mighty conqueror. Holy angels, a vast crowd of them too many to count, come with him, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Every eye sees the Prince of Life. A crown of glory rests on his brow. His face is brighter than the noonday sun. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King of Kings descends on the cloud, wrapped in flaming fire. The earth trembles before him, our God shall come, and shall not keep silent, a fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Mocking jokes have ended, lying lips hushed. Nothing is heard except the voice of prayer and the sound of weeping. The wicked pray to be buried beneath the rocks rather than have to face him whom they have despised. That voice which penetrates the ear of the dead, they know. How often its tender tones have called them to repentance. How often they have heard it in the appeals of a friend, a brother, a redeemer. Oh, if only it were the voice of a stranger to them. That voice awakens memories of warnings they despised and invitations they refused. Those who mocked Christ in his humiliation are there. He declared, Hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now they look at him in his glory, they are yet to see him sitting at the right hand of power. There is the haughty Herod who jeered at his royal title. There are the men who placed the thorny crown on his brow and the mimic scepter in his hand, those who bowed before him in blasphemous mockery, who spat on the Prince of Life. They tried to run from his presence. Those who drove the nails through his hands and feet gaze at these marks with terror and remorse. With terrible clarity, priests and rulers remember the events of Calvary, how, wagging their heads in satanic gloating, they exclaimed, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Louder than the shout, Crucify him, crucify him, which rang through Jerusalem, swells the despairing wail, He is the Son of God. They try to run from the presence of the King of Kings. In the lives of all who reject truth there are moments when conscience wakes up, when the mind is troubled with vain regrets. But what are these compared with the remorse of that day? In the midst of their terror they hear the voices of the redeemed exclaiming, Behold, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us.